Hello, my dears. Welcome back to another episode of Main Character Energy with Josephine Moon. I have quite the exciting episode for you guys this week. Let me not say exciting because, like, I am on one right now. I just got back from a concert from the love of my life, and I was just on Instagram on my way home on the local bus and decided, like, you know what? I'm riled up. I want to chit-chat and jibber-jabber about all the things that's been going on. And over the past 2 weeks since I spoke to you guys, I think it's been 2 or 3 weeks, there's been a lot going on. There's a war breaking out. Taylor Swift is being Taylor Swift. People are being mentally unwell. And I am very close to losing my mind with the way people are responding to all of the above and all the things I'm going to speak about today. So I don't know. I've got a lot of things to rant about. This might be more rant than updating you on pop culture. Who knows? Because I've got a lot to talk about, but we'll see where this leads us and we'll just have a great time getting to our end destination. But until we get to there or then, I don't know what is the proper way to end that sentence, but I do have things to rant about. And first on that list is the phrase girls, girls. I was actually out with a friend in the past 2 weeks. I can't remember. You guys don't have early onset dementia, so just, like, bear with me. But I was out with a friend the other day, week, month, year, and I've really come to hate the phrase girls, girl, because it just, like, points someone in a certain light for no specific reason. And it's really strange because, like, I generally feel if you have to announce to people the type of person that you are on, like, a regular daily basis, you're probably not that type of person, and you're, like, forcing yourself to become that person because that's what you think people expect of you, or that's just how you want people to see you. Like, I have this theory, and bear with me, but over my, I'm not even gonna say the number because it makes me sound actually elderly, but over my career since I started drinking, from whatever age, legal or not, I've noticed that, like, for certain people, like, they might present a certain persona about themselves, but once they start drinking, that persona, because they can't hold on to it because their inhibitions are gone with the wind, they start to, like, become, I guess, their natural selves. And I've noticed this with, like people that I'm close to, with strangers, just out and about in the wild. And it's not generally just drinking. I feel like you see it a lot more. It's a lot more evident and prevalent when people are drinking. But I feel as though if you have to say the type, like, let's just say you are someone who wants people to think you're just, like, a really sweet, like, genuine person. And maybe you might be that type of person, but you bring it up all the time, like, in every conversation, like, I'm just, like, so sweet, I'm so genuine, like, that's just the type of person I am. Like, if you have to talk about it and tell people the type of person you are, it's probably not you. Like, you shouldn't have to tell someone the type of person you are. Like, they should be able to see that and feel that from you, from the conversation and the time they spend with you, whether it's a long friendship or it's not. And, like, I just find that insane. And it kind of leads me to something else, because I've as you guys might know or might not know, I don't know if I said this on the last podcast, but, like, I'm in my dating era because, like, what else is there to do with my life these days? So I'm in my dating era, and I feel like all the things that I'm going to rant about today are probably things that I wrote down in my phone, like, remember to talk about this on the podcast about men or just friends or whatever. But I hate when I, like, go out with a guy and they, like, try to tell me, like, how nice they are or how whatever they are. And it's just like, can I be the judge of that? I don't need you to tell me the type of person you are. I want to have conversations with you and sit down and see and get the energy of what type of person you are. You don't need to keep telling me you're super nice or you're super funny or you're super, you don't need to tell me how much you make over and over. Like, if you're telling me how much you make over and over, like, it's giving fraud vibes. Like, it's just not it. But all this to say, we're circling back to the original point, I hate the phrase girls, girls, because, like, you don't have to be friends with girls in general to just be, like, a person that people should hang out with. Like, I'll say it, I'm a girl. Sometimes girls are whores. Sometimes they're very mean. Sometimes they're not fun to be around. They are just not the best. Like, every woman knows this. Like, it's just not it. So the phrase girls, girl is just, like, very, it's very vague. Like, you don't have, it's, and I know there's the opposite of, like, a pick-me girl who's just, like, only friends with guys and, like, allegedly loves sports and whatever, whatever. Like, there's two sides of the coin, but I feel as though the phrase girl's girl is, like, getting a really bad rap, especially on, like, TV shows and just, like, on social media. Like, it's just, you don't have to be a girl's girl, and that's okay, because girls are catty. I'm a girl. I'm catty. I'm petty. But, like, that's just being a human, and that's being alive. And it's very frustrating to me, because, like, I also feel like girl's girl is, like, used as a crutch as well, as, like, to get away with bad behavior as women. Like, oh, you don't support me cheating on my boyfriend and scamming people? You're not a girl's girl. Oh, you don't hold my hand when I get blackout drunk and belligerently, like, yell at everyone? You're not a girl's girl. Like, it's getting used in the wrong way, and, like, the phrase has taken a turn, and it's so irritating to me. And I feel that way about a lot of phrases. And I was talking about this with my friend. We're circling back. Don't worry, guys. Like, I've got a train of thought and I'm following it to the end. When I was with this friend, I was like, so we've got the term girl's girl. We have the term, like, boy code. But, like, what is the term for, like, gays? Like, a gay's gay? Because, like, Lord knows, most of the men that I'm friends with are homosexuals. And I asked a few of them, and the term they said was either a gay's gay or a word that I cannot use because I'm not a gay man, which is the F slur. But, like, what is the term for, like, a gay man who's, like, really supports and, like, is just there for gay culture? Because not every gay man is. Like, I know a good amount of gay men who are also like, I don't like to go to gay clubs, I don't like to go to drag, I don't like to do this and that, like, it makes me nervous, which is okay, you don't have to do that. But I feel like for some people, they wouldn't be considered, I guess, gay is gay. Like, what is the term? If you are a homosexual man, please send me the term. Like, I need to know, and we need to get this term going. Because, like, girl's girl is getting beaten to a pulp, and guy code is just, like, it's a little too masculine. Like, it's a little too womp womp. Speaking of womp womp, can we just talk about, as I've been, like, currently on the dating scene, can we just talk about Venmo charges? I don't know if I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but I find it so incredibly embarrassing, disgusting, outrageous when couples Venmo request each other and it's public. Not even public, when they're just Venmo requesting each other. Like, that's kind of insane to me. Like, for certain things, maybe I kind of understand it. It's just weird to me. Like, especially when I see married couples doing this, I feel like that's my biggest quandary. Dating, like, depending on, like, what you're doing, what the situation is, I can kind of see it just a little bit. Like, and it only needs to be, like, once every blue moon. It doesn't need to be happening, like, every weekend when you guys are going out. Like, he's charging you $50 for this. Like, if you're a man, hear me now and hear me loud and proud. I don't care if you're trying to be a girl's girl, LOL. I don't care what you're trying to be. If your partner, and you are a female, is Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App requesting you for things that you guys did over the weekend, he is not your man. He's not your man. He couldn't be. It's impossible. Okay? Like, if you guys want to split things when you go out, like, he gets this dinner, you get drinks afterwards. But, like, it's insane to me that I am seeing, like, oh, gas charges, Starbucks charges, this charges from, like, a guy to a girl or a girl to a guy. Like, it's so weird. And it's so embarrassing. Like, what are you doing? Like, do you not respect yourself? If that is going to be the situation, at least put your transactions on private. At least only have the shame for yourself, because everyone else is seeing this embarrassment and cackling. Cackling! No. No. Also, another thing I must discuss is overly familiar men on first dates. I've been going, as I said, circling back with me, keep up, keep up. I've been going on a lot of dates, and, like, actually a lot of dates, like, more dates than I've probably gone on my entire life in the past, like, month and a half, but, or 2 months. But I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe just because, like, all the men that I've ever gone on a date or dates with in my past, I've, like, somehow known them beforehand, maybe. I don't know what it is. So, like, there was that possible vibe there. All of these men that I've been going out with recently will just be, like, in the middle of conversation and they'll just, like, pop over the table to try and kiss me. Or, like, they'll just be, like, really weird. And, like, men and women, please let me know. Like, respond, post, whatever. Is this just, like, common, I don't know if the right word is courtesy, to, if you're on a date, whether it's good or bad, let's just say it's an okay date, like you guys are having good conversation, but like there's no chemistry, there's no vibe there. You get to the end of the day, he pays, you say thank you, you give a hug, maybe he walks you to the train. Is it just like common courtesy to like for the guy to just start kissing you and making out with you when there's absolutely no chemistry? Because every single guy that I've gone out with has done this, and like it's not even like, oh, three or four guys, it's been like 15 to 20 guys every single date has done this, and it's so uncomfortable and awkward. Like the way I'm on mute with my lips, like I'm just like, this is not it. This is not it. It's just like weird. Is this normal? Because I was telling a few friends this recently and they're like, yeah, that is kind of weird. Like usually there's like a move or there's like something that lets both of you know that you're both interested. That does not seem to be what's going on with me. And maybe I'm just like, I don't think I would say I'm too nice. I don't think anyone who knows me would say I'm too nice, but like maybe I'm just too familiar with people and they're just like, okay, like she's having great conversation with me. She's laughing. Maybe she's interested. No, I'm not. I'm just like I don't know if I'd say I'm polite. I'm just very English. I think that's what it is to my core. I'm very English with some of the ways that I react, and I just don't know. It's just so irritating to me. But I'm kind of really over it, and men are irritating me to my core, and I'm very close to just calling it a day and becoming a nun. Speaking of nuns, you know who should become a nun? Well, I don't know if they should become nuns, but it might help them a little bit in their life journeys. And this is coming from me because I want this to be known that I grew up in, I guess, upper middle class Dallas, Texas. So like most of my friends in my lifetime have been, I would say, 75-80% white and 20% all other ethnicities. So I'm really used to hanging out, being around white people of all forms. All, believe me, all forms. And I recently went out with some friends and I like wrote down in my phone, I was like, beware. And it's not just white women, like it's just like white people in general, but I feel like it's mostly white women. But I wrote in my phone, beware of white women who are overly familiar with black friends. Like, I'm used to this. Like, people love to make random black jokes. And, like, the thing is with me, like, Lord knows I love a giggle. I love a dark, crazy joke. But it actually has to be funny. If it's not funny, then you're just borderline, if not offensive and racist. Like, it's got to be a one. You know what I mean? And I just like hate when you're friends with like certain white people who just like love to bring up race and your color and like just try to be like quote unquote woke but funny woke to the point where it's uncomfortable. And I recently just like went out with a girl who like just tried to continually make random jokes. And I was just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, I can only fake laugh so long. Like, Lord knows I can fake laugh till the end of time. Like, I'm a woman. It's in our DNA to fake laugh in uncomfortable situations. But, and I'm a woman of color, so bing bong, bing bong. But, like, it was just so treacherous. And I just didn't know what to do. Because certain times, like, it's really weird. I don't want to go on a whole rant. Like, I really don't. Because, like, it's not that interesting. But it kind of is. It's really weird to, like, be in a situation where, like, you're uncomfortable. But, like, it's not offensive. It's just, like, it's really making you visibly uncomfortable. And you don't know what to do. Because, like, it's just borderline a lot of things. And it's also just really weird when you're with a group of people who, like, see that it's uncomfortable. And they feel the uncomfortability. And they don't say or do anything. So we're all living in this. And it's up to you to say something all the time. And I feel like that was a lot of the conversation that I had in 2020 after the whole Black Lives Matter movement. People were like, oh, we want to know more and we want to get educated, but we don't want to have to ask our black friends because it's not their job to educate us. We should be able to learn for ourselves and stand up for them. But I feel like that only that only seemed to matter for that year. And then since then, we've just kind of gone back into the shadows. And I've noticed that over the past 3, almost 4 years since that happened with friends. Like, the first, like, year or two, everyone was on guard. They were like, oh, I would never let anyone say something like that. That's just, like, so offensive. That's so rude. But then you're actually in those situations with those people, and it's like, they are deaf, blind, and mute. And it's so interesting. And I don't think that makes someone a bad person at all. I just think it's really uncomfortable. And I don't know. I don't know what how I would describe that type of person who, like, okay, I mean, I guess it would be a hypocrite, but not as much. I don't know if I would say a hypocrite as much. I feel like certain people would be like, oh, they're hypocrites, they're fake. I don't think they are, because I feel like they feel the uncomfortability and whatever. I don't know. I'm going on a rant now. Because I've been drinking, obviously. But all this leads me to, I had a few other things that I wanted to rant about, but we're deep into this and I've got a lot of things to talk about. But I have to talk about what's been going on in the world since October 6th or 7th, I believe. You guys know I'm not a podcast or a girl that likes to talk about politics or anything like that. It's not my thing. I stay out of it. Mostly because, like, for me, in a real level, like, what can we do? We can continue to have a conversation, but that doesn't change anything sometimes. But I don't know if, I feel like I've talked about this on this podcast before, but I am Jewish. So, oh, I have. Because when the Kanye thing was happening, I talked about this. Yes, it's all coming back to me. Anywho, it's very strange because someone asked me about this recently over the past nearly 7 days since the war began in Israel, and it's really sad and it's absolutely heartbreaking and it's just horrible. And one of my friends asked me, like, what my thoughts are on it and my thoughts on everyone's response, not everyone's, but just, like, generally people's response to it and how that's been or has affected me. And I'm someone, if you know me well enough, you'll know that I'm someone who doesn't really, like, I don't want to say I'm not really emotional, because I am. But I don't like to get emotional about things that I can't fix or try to find an answer to. Like, if it's something I can't do, then, like, I'll get emotional about it. But if it's something I can fix, like, I'm not gonna, like, start crying and weeping and talking about it to everyone. Because, like, that, for me, it doesn't help the situation. And I know for a lot of people that's, like, really strange and whatever, but it is what it is for me. Anywho, someone asked me the situation and I was like, I feel like these type of things really hit me hard. Like, when the Black Lives Matter movement was happening in 2020 and you're just, like, seeing all the videos and the photos and people's responses to just, like, people dying in the streets over absolutely nothing. Like, that really broke me down. And I was just, like, crying all the time. And I'm not someone who cries, like, at all. You know me. I'm not a crier at all. It's not my thing. But I was just, like, constantly crying because it's just, like, there's absolutely nothing I could say or do that could help these people, that could bring back these lives. And I feel the same way when it comes to what's going on in Israel. And I know it's a complex situation because we've got a terrorist group and then we've got a country that wants to be free. And it's very, I understand people's trepidation towards it. But if you go on, the way my voice is getting choked up already, oh my God, I'm not okay. But if you go and see, and I know it's a lot, believe me, I know it's a lot. I've been seeing the photos and the videos every single day. I know it's a lot. But if you go and see the photos of the people being raped and killed, and it's just unimaginable. Like, I don't know if you've seen the post of the woman who survived the Holocaust, who was taken out of her home to just have to go through this exact same thing again. It's just so horrific. Like, the grandmother who was killed in her house, they took a photo of her dead in her home and posted it on her social media, on her Facebook, so her family and friends could see her dead body. Like, I don't really understand how people could look at that and say, get the country back by all means. Like, I personally just don't understand that. And war is war. Like, I understand that. But when it comes to war, there are rules. Like, it's soldiers fighting against soldiers, not a terrorist group fighting against innocent civilians, babies being decapitated. Like, there's absolutely no words. And I was asked, like, how do I feel about this? And, like, I can't really talk about it anymore because I'm so, anytime I think about it, I actually want to cry. But I was like, unfortunately for me, a lot of what makes me who I am is never really seen or accepted by the general mass. I am one, a woman. I'm a woman of color. I'm an immigrant. I'm also Jewish. Like, everything that makes me who I am is always the bottom of the totem pole. Like, up until a few years ago, people were like, oh, I didn't know black people being killed in the streets. And still until now, immigrants are seen as what they are. Same for Jewish people. Like, Jewish people are always being attacked, especially in New York. It's just like, everything that makes me who I am, I'm used to people ignoring it and not standing up for it and just kind of continuing on with their lives with it. So someone asked me about it and I was like, unfortunately, I'm used to it. Like, I don't want to say I have a heart of stone, but when you're used to no one sticking up for you or caring whether you, at the end of the day, live or die, like, you just continue on with your life and hope you're able to live your life. So it's, for me, it's incredibly sad. And I know for a lot of people, they're just like, well, I don't want to get involved with the politics of the country of Israel and the politics of Palestine. And it's like, okay, but you can stand up for what's right and wrong at the end of the day. There were at currently 20 American people that were killed. Maybe that'll make people care more. There were, I think, 10 or 15 German people killed. Maybe that'll make people care more. But it's just really insane to me that people just don't care. And I understand, especially for a lot of people in America, like, yes, we can post that we stand with Israel. Yes, we can post that we want to see peace. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing that I said when people were posting the black square for Black Lives Matter. Like, my voice getting choked up again. I know sometimes, like, social media justice warriors, it can go a little too far and it can seem irrelevant. But, and I feel that way sometimes. I feel like after a while, for the Black Lives Matter people just posting about all the time, it did feel towards the end that it was performative. But in the beginning, going on social media and seeing the amount of people that I follow, whether it's friends, family, celebrities, It was in the beginning very nice to see people say publicly that they care, that if something were to happen, they would care about your life being alive. And I feel the same way when it comes to what's going on in Israel. Like, yes, you can maybe just post a little thing saying, I stand with Israel or something like that. And to you, it might be like, well, I can't change anything. I can't go fight in the war. So what does it matter if I post or not? But the people who are Jewish, who stand with Israel, whatever it is, even the innocent Palestinian people who have been killed in this, by this terrorist group whose lives matter as well, it's nice to know that, like, the same thing that nearly happened almost 100 years ago, the Holocaust, like, people would stand up and say this is wrong. And it's just extremely sad, honestly, the response, the amount of people I've unfollowed, it's insane. And you'd be like, oh, well, it's not happening here in America. I live in New York. I live right by the UN. For the past week, when I've walked my dog, the rallies of certain Palestinian people who are waving the Nazi flag, who are saying, kill the babies, rape the people at whatever means necessary, is what I'm walking by every single day with my dog. Like, the amount of signs that says, kidnapped Israeli baby, kidnapped Israeli couple, like, it's not just happening over there, it's happening here in America as well. And it's just so incredibly sad. Like, there's not much more I can say on it, and I'm sure you're gonna be like, okay, like, we can't do anything. And I get it. Like, I've tried to stay off social media the past few days because every post I see is just the numbers going up of people being killed and the graphic photos of innocent Palestinian people who's been killed, innocent Israeli people being killed, babies, elderly, everything. It's just so sad. And if it's something you don't fully understand and for some reason you need context of what's going on, if you don't really value anyone's life, I would love for you to just type in some podcast to hear the history of what's going on and the terrorist group and what they stand for and what they believe. And if it compels you in any type of way, to just post, even if it's just a story, to just post, because it, the people that you don't think it matters to, it matters. But yeah, that's where I'm at with my life. I'm very, very disgusted by a lot of people's responses and the silence from a lot of people as well. But that's where I'm at, and I won't continue this any longer. Anywho, let's get into some stories, because there's a lot to talk about, and Lord knows I could talk about this forever, but my drink is starting to get smaller and smaller, and there's stories to talk about. So let's get into some stories. Our first story is a story that actually like broke the day after I posted the last podcast, and I almost thought about like recording this and putting it in the last episode, but I was like, we'll talk about it very briefly. Usher has been announced as the Super Bowl halftime performance show, and it's quite comical to me, just because the day before this broke, I was out, I think I was actually on a date, I don't actually remember, I think I was on a date, and we ended up talking about music, and I think we were just talking about like artists who, they're great, but like they're not it, and I was like, unfortunately Usher is that guy. Like, he's had a lot of bops in his career, but he's kind of become very irrelevant, like... Like, who is he? Has he had a song in any recent time? And 6 hours after I said that on the date, he was announced as the halftime Super Bowl performer. And I was like, the way he heard me talking shit about him is what's insane. He decided to fully come out. Like, his Vegas residency is popping off. I think I'm actually going to see his Vegas residency in a few weeks. But I love Usher. He was one of my, like, first original crushes. He was like one of the first like CD albums that I remember from my siblings. Like, it was a birthday gift for me when I was like, I don't know, in second grade, maybe it was his first album. I remember playing that on repeat all the time. Like, Usher has the bops. Like, he's fun. He hasn't really been in too many controversies other than like him giving chlamydia to random people like a decade ago. But I'm just like intrigued to see. I feel like it's going to be a really good show. And like once they announced it, I was like, I could see him being a really great performer for the halftime Super Bowl show. But he really heard me talking shit about him and said, okay, I'm coming out. Okay, be prepared. Talk shit, get hit. And I absolutely got hit in the face because I had to retract everything I said. And I was horribly embarrassed. Unfortunately, I do have to talk about these two people because they are everywhere, and media has really just like, I don't know if I'm annoyed by these people or by the media hyping up these people. I have no idea. And you guys know how I feel about these two. Well, it's mostly just this one person. The other person is just kind of there. But Taylor and Travis are, I guess, officially dating. They're not just like, I don't know what they were doing before, but they have been seen. She's gone to multiple games at this point. The last game that I saw that she went to, she brought Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, Anthony, and a few other people, and had a great time, it seems. And they've been seen going out a bunch of other times since then. And I, you know what? Let me say something positive about Miss Taylor Allison Swift before I just deep dive in. I'm gonna try and say something nice about someone. I know, whatever. Okay. I will say, I do like this relationship for her because I feel like every relationship that we've seen her with, not every guy, but most of the men that she has dated have been like somewhat unattractive. Like, Tom Hiddleston is like, he's Tom, you know what I mean? Her last guy, Joe, was beyond unattractive. I feel like her two most attractive men that she's dated have been Harry Styles and maybe John Mayer. Maybe Calvin Harris, depending on, like, the type of girl you are. But, like, most of the men she's dated have just been, like, eh kind of men. They haven't been, like, super tall, super masculine, super, like, America kind of men. And I feel like Travis is that man. Are they going to be together for the rest of their lives? Absolutely not. But I do like this for her. Like, she's having a good time. Like, the last guy she just dated was, like, a closeted secret racist, according to, like, some of the things he was saying and doing. Or just not racist. Let me retract that. I hate being that person who just, like, puts a comment out there as drastic as that. He was very problematic. That's a better statement. Very problematic in the things he said and did. And I just like Travis for her, even though it's just like a fling. It's going to be a good time. She seems really happy. She's like literally nearly 6 foot tall. She's able to wear like heels, like not like a baby heel, like actual heels, and still feel like a dainty little girl around him, which is what every girl wants to feel at the end of the day. So I'm extremely happy for her in this situation. However, and I know it's not necessarily her fault, because like, what can she do? Because whatever. But I'm so fatigued by the constant reporting of everything she does. Anytime I like think about Taylor, I just have to think about someone that I love so much that like they're the love of my life. And for me, obviously you guys know that is Beyonce. And I'm like, if I were constantly seeing footage, and she's also just a very private person. Like that's just who she is. Like you will see her when she wants you to see her. If not, she will disappear for 2 years and we will never see the light of day. But I like really have to put it into perspective of like, how would I feel if like all the news was about Beyonce all the time, 24/7, everything she's doing, everything she's eating, like I would lose my mind. Like I absolutely love and adore her, but like at what cost? And that's how I feel with Taylor. Like I understand. And I feel like, no offense to the Taylor fans, like please don't cut, you know, I really don't care. Since they don't come after me, but I truly don't give a shit. I feel like this is not all the fans, because most of my friends are big Taylor girlies. So like, I understand there are normal Taylor fans and there are psychotic fans. I'm talking about the psychotic fans. They really ruined Taylor Swift for a lot of people. I feel like I think she's a good artist. Like, I don't particularly like, am obsessed with her music. Like, they're catchy songs. I think she does a good job in keeping her fan base active. Active, heavy on the active. And I think she is talented. Like, I won't deny that. Do I think she's the best singer, the best performer, the best entertainer alive? Absolutely not. But I can see how people love her and just like be obsessed with her. I can see that. However, I need people to get a grip. Like, I think I said this on my last podcast. I'm gonna start a Get a Grip Academy and just like try to get people to get a hold of themselves. But it's just like really strange to me at times, like how unwell people become about her. Like I saw some of the videos of her movie, which I'll get into in a moment. Her concert movie that just came out this past weekend, and the videos of people just like running in a circle in the theater with flashlights. It really was giving Salem witch trial. Like, it was so scary. And like, I understand it. Like, you're just so excited and you're so happy and you just want to be a part of something. But like, at times, not at times, most of the time, her fans really ruin her for everyone else. Like, they really ruin a lot of things. Everything she does, they get so psychotic about. And it's just like, she's just a pop star. She's just a pop star. I understand you love her music, you connect to it. And I feel like that's a little bit of the difference between, I don't want to compare these two because they're like, they're not even on the same level. And you can take that however you want to take it, but they're not on the same level. But I feel like that's the difference between Taylor Swift fans and Beyonce fans, is that Beyonce fans are, there are some crazy people, but they're not really that crazy anymore because like, most of her fans are like grown adults. And grown adults are not like going on Instagram and like fully attacking people and just like being insane about her. Like, we post, we love, we buy her stuff and we move on. But the difference is with Taylor's fans, and I feel like it's kind of very similar, which is very funny because they're best friends. They're very similar to Selena Gomez fans in that she still has a very young group of people following her, and a young group of girls, and some of the adult women, but like she has a very young group of like unhinged girls at times that are her main base that just go insane and are so psychotic. And it's the same thing with Selena Gomez, like the way her fans are still coming out, Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber, when they've both been married for like 4 or 5 years. Selena and Justin haven't been in a relationship together in like five plus, 5, 6 years, but they're still coming at both of those people all the time, and those fan bases are insane, like, it makes sense why they're best friends. But, like, I feel like that's the difference in certain celebrities and their fan bases still being extremely young and them catering to a younger crowd rather than an adult crowd. Because there's not many other, like, big-name celebrities whose fans are that crazy. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the biggest artists. Like, Drake, Beyonce, Taylor, I guess Selena, but, like, she's not even a performer or singer, but whatever. I'm trying to think of other people who are really big. I can't think of anyone else as big as these people.
No.
But, like, their fans are not that crazy because, like, it's an adult fan base. I feel like that makes a big difference in the media coverage and just, like, whatever. Let me not go on a whole rant about this because we could be here for 2 hours talking, dissecting this. But I'm not coming for all you Taylor fans. I know some normal people who, like, love her, support, and they're not psychotic. I know this. But for the other freaks who need to get their lives together, please. This leads me to the premiere of her concert movie and Beyonce showing up. I don't know if Beyonce actually showed up for the whole like screening of it. I don't think she did, to be very honest. Beyonce's not trying to sit through that for like 3.5 hours. I can confirm that. But I think she was there for the beginning and just wanted to show support because those two are always being compared to each other, especially with their big tours going on. And people always being like, Taylor's making the most of any woman at every concert ever. And then 2 days later, Beyonce's making the most of any tour ever by a female ever. Like, it goes back and forth of them two making the most of any female ever. And it's like, okay, like, they both are sitting pretty. They both made nearly $1 billion from this tour of what's been going on the past, like, 5-6 months. They both made a lot of money. They're both happy. They're both content. They don't care that you keep pitting them against each other when it comes to this. But I feel like Beyonce showed up because it's just been constant over the past 5 months just to show support. But I will say, Beyonce has always been a fan. I don't know if I say a fan. Let me rephrase that. Beyonce and Taylor have always been, like, co-worker friends. Like, they support each other. They both do a great job at what they're doing, and they support each other. Like, Beyonce has been seen at Taylor's Christmas and birthday parties over the past, I don't know, 15, whatever amount of years that they've been friends, the whole Kanye coming up on the stage for Taylor thing and Beyonce letting her say her speech during her win. Like, they've been friends, or at least, like, close colleagues, I think I want to say, since then. I understand why Beyonce did it, because she was like, please keep my name out of your mouth. Like, I'm sitting pretty with my children at home and my ugly husband. Like, she is fine. But I, like, low-key wish she didn't go. And not, like, because I'm so irritated by Taylor, but just because a lot of Taylor fans, and maybe it's just, like, the side of the internet that I'm on, but a lot of Taylor fans are really disgruntled by the lack of support that she hasn't shown for the war that's been going on, whether it's just like a middle ground piece for both sides. She hasn't posted anything, and then when she did post, it was just about her movie that had already, like, sold out pre-sale, so she really didn't need to like talk about it or whatever. I just wish, like, Beyonce didn't get involved in that, because now her name is being dragged in the mud for that, and Beyonce's not one to talk about these things. Like, she will send money, she will support privately. She's not open with these type of things. And now she's being dragged in the mud with Taylor, and I didn't like that, you know? Anywho, let's go on to the next story, because, like, we're so deep into this episode, and I have a million other things to talk about. I'm going to just talk about them as quickly as humanly possible. Unfortunately, Suzanne Somers passed away. I think it was due to cancer, I want to say. And it's very sad. I believe she passed away at the age of 76 years old, and it's very, very sad. She was in... The thing is, like, she's not really my time of things. Like, I don't really know. She was from Three's Company and Step by Step, which is not my time frame for life, but she passed away from an aggressive form of breast cancer, which is extremely sad. You know what's actually kind of crazy? Sorry. I was, before I came and sat down and spoke with you guys, I was at a concert with my friend, and we got drinks beforehand, and we were just talking about, like, grandparents and, like, what's the average age of life for people. And I was like, I don't really know, because, like, most of my family members, like, older people, my family line seems to live for very long, which is not looking good for me, you guys. You know, I'm not trying to live that long. But most of my family members, like my grandparents, were in their like late 80s, early 90s. Like my grandfather, I think, is like 92, 93, and I'm sure he'll still kick for another 15 years. Who knows? But like, that's my frame of reference when it comes to old people. So I was like, I know that's old, but like, what's the average age? And looked it up, and it's 87, which is kind of crazy to me. That seems like really old. I would have assumed like late 70s, early 80s at best. Because like, old people are, they're not taking the best care of themselves. They've gone through so much in those 80 years. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Speaking of what's going on, the favorite person that I'd love to talk about this, but actually no, you guys would think I'm probably talking about Meghan and Harry or Demi Lovato, but I'm not this time. Crazy, I know. Kanye is allegedly coming out with a new album, and according to the blurgs, he's been trying to shop his album around, but a lot of labels are trying to stay clear of him just because he's so incredibly toxic and unwell. And I didn't talk about it in my last podcast about like him being in Italy and his like his ass crack being out on the it's not a canoe, what's it called? Like the little riverboat or whatever it's called. And I just like don't want to talk about that anti-Semite. Like, I'm sorry. There's too much going on in the world for me to care about him. But I do find it interesting. I posted this on my Instagram earlier today or a few days ago. I do find it very interesting that people are steering clear of him. Like, he mostly got canceled because of the anti-Semite things he was saying about Jewish people, obviously. Like, he was saying, I'm not even gonna repeat it. I'm not doing that, please. But he got dropped from nearly every single deal that he was, Adidas dropped him, and it cost them like nearly $1 billion, if not more, to drop him. And so many other companies and deals were dropped because of the anti-Semite things he was saying. But I just find it very interesting that labels are wanting to steer clear of him for those exact views when a lot of these people are not saying anything when it comes to the war going on, even if it's just like a neutral ground of whatever. I just find that very interesting, and that's all I'm gonna say because I've already spoken about it long enough on this podcast. But a food for thought, Kanye, and the crowd. Food for mother effing thought. Speaking of food for thought, Michael Caine, this 95-year-old, speaking of old people, Michael Caine from, what's he from? The Batman series and a bunch of other things, is retiring. And this man is like 92 years old. Can you imagine still, even if it's like a great career, can you imagine still working at 92 and being like, I guess I should retire now when I've got four good years left at best? That's insane. I'm a certain age and I already want to retire, like, and I've barely been working for that long and I'm ready to retire. I can't even imagine if I'm still having to work at 90 something years old. I'm hoping I don't live that long, but if I'm still working at like 45, I implore anyone to put me down. Like, use this podcast as reference. Do not come after this person. Put me down. I'm not trying to be working at that age. Like, please respect my privacy. Ooh, speaking of respecting privacy, Jada Smith, is that her last name technically? Did she ever take his last name? Because like, she absolutely hates him. Jada Pinkett Smith is writing a memoir that no one asked for, nor does anyone want. And in this memoir, oh my god, it's all over social media. It's almost just as annoying as like Taylor Swift stuff. But she wrote this memoir that her and Will Smith have been separated since 2016. They will never get divorced, she says. And Tupac was her soulmate. Can you imagine? Imagine your spouse continually embarrassing you like this. She said, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago on her Red Talk Table show, whatever it's called, that she had an entanglement with like this much younger man who was like the friend of her kids, pretty much. Like, this guy was early 20s and she is like late 40s, early 50s. Can you imagine your partner just continually embarrassing you like this? And like, to be fair, Will has, well, the only time he's like really embarrassed himself was the Oscars, and like, that was honestly horrifying for him, and like, it's really, it hasn't made him look good. Like, I've never been more over him than after that, and like, is him continually talking about it. But it's just, like, so insane that she decided to come out with this memoir. And, like, all of it is just, like, we're just friends. We'll never get divorced. But, like, we're not in love with each other anymore. But we won't get divorced. I'll never give him a reason to divorce me. But I'll just keep talking about how I don't love him. I don't like him. I've had other relationships with other men. Tupac, the guy that died, like, 20-something years ago, was my soulmate. Like, she's just so insane. And this is what comes from, like, toxic femininity. Like, I'm sorry. I know people are gonna possibly hate me for saying that. But, like, everything in life, if you go to extreme, turns toxic. Toxic femininity, which kind of goes into my original thought of girls, girl. Like, you just take it too far. And it's just too much. And I feel extremely bad for Sir William, even though it kind of doesn't make sense, like, why he, like, got up on the... Oh, speaking of, also what came out in her book is that Chris Rock tried to ask her out because apparently everyone in Hollywood knew that they were getting divorced or they were separating, and he asked her out. So that, for some reason, leads into why Will stood up and punched him in the face at the Oscars a year ago, almost 2 years ago. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Who asked for this book? And there's no way anyone's trying to read this book. Every single quote from this book has been on social media. And none of them have been interesting. This seems to be the actual consensus that no one wants to hear any of this. We're tired of her. We're being told all this information against our will. LOL, Will. And it's just like too much. Anywho, speaking of too much... I keep saying speaking of as my transition, but, like, I just don't care. I'm tired. Speaking of too much, apparently Gigi Hadid, who is, I want to say, 27, is dating / in a relationship with Bradley Cooper, who is, I want to say, 48. Let me double check those numbers. I just asked my Alexa and she said I was correct, 48 years old. And I'm not really going to judge the age difference because... Who would I be if I'm judging an age difference? Like, please, please. Pot calling the kettle. But I will say that I do find it to be kind of a strange relationship, but also at the same time, I kind of see it. Like, they both have very young kids. Both their partners are not, I don't want to say it, not in their lives, but, like, not the most present. I think, I don't really know, honestly, who cares? But they are dating each other. The photos have been seen. I don't think they're an ugly couple. I think they're an attractive couple, but it's kind of really random just because Gigi was allegedly dating Leonardo DiCaprio for quite some time, and Leo and Bradley are best friends. So was Leo just like, I'm kind of done with her. Do you want her? Like, it's just, like, a little weird. But to each their own. Maybe they're just, like, friends and, like, their kids are friends and they're just hanging out because of their kids. But I feel like if they were hanging out for the kids, it would be, like, Gigi and Bradley's ex. Is it Ivanka? Is it Ivanka or is that Trump? What's the name? I don't know. Who cares? Anywho, it's a little weird, but who cares? I actually have, like, seven other stories to talk about, but I'm realizing this podcast is very long because I went on a lot of tangents, as the kids would like to say. So I'm going to cut a few because they're just really not as interesting as the others I want to talk about. But this one to me is, like, fairly interesting just because I feel as though this tension has been brewing for a very long time and people seem to be so utterly confused by it. But within the Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas divorce drama that's been going on, Sophie has unfollowed Priyanka Chopra, who is obviously, if you don't know, Nick Jonas's wife. And people are, like, quaking in their goddamn boots about this. And I don't really understand why. Because in the, nearly 4 years, I want to say, that Priyanka has been with Nick, and the 5 to 6 years that Sophie has been with Joe, we don't really see Priyanka and Sophie ever hanging out together. Like, they're both actresses. They're both, like, fairly well known. We've never really seen them hang out other than, like, at concerts or things that they all have to be at together. So, like, it's not really that crazy that she would unfollow her because I don't think she gets along with her. They're different types of girls. They're different, like, age ranges. They're different backgrounds. I never really saw them being friends. And people are like, oh, well, it's really weird just because, like, she only unfollowed her. She didn't unfollow Danielle, who is Kevin's wife, and like Danielle's the sweetest. Like, I know these people, but like Danielle comes across as like the sweetest human being, like very sweet, very kind, kind of keeps to herself, and she's already spoken like so highly of both of these people, both these people being Sophie and Priyanka. So like, I don't really see her unfollowing like the brothers, because like, why would she do that? I don't see her unfollowing Danielle, because like, I feel like her and Danielle were probably like close enough, but not like best friends. There was no beef, but whatever. So I just find it comical that people are losing their minds over this one. Like, they shouldn't, because I don't want to say Priyanka seems, I don't know. I can kind of see why she would unfollow her, because Priyanka seems a little, I don't want to use the word fake, because I don't think that's what I mean, but she just seems a little full on with some of the things that she says and does regarding her marriage and her relationship with Nick. And that's where I'll leave that sentence at that. Speaking of just a couple that I actually want to talk about, if you have not seen or watched the Beckham documentary on Netflix, you absolutely must watch it. It's so good. I believe it's like maybe five episodes, an hour long, four or five episodes. It's so incredibly amazing. And it's very wild because like, I didn't realize this until I was watching the show that like, Beckham was my original first crush. Like of any celebrity crush, I should say. My original celebrity crush. And I think I actually had this question when I was out on a date with someone recently. And you know when you ask those dumb questions, it's like, what's your favorite show? What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite number? Like those dumb questions when it's like, this isn't going anywhere, but let's just like keep the conversation going. I had this conversation with a guy where we were talking about favorite numbers for some reason. And I was like, oh, seven is my favorite number. Like just in Hebrew, seven is a number of completion. I feel like just growing up, seven has just been the number that's been like embedded in me. But then watching the Beckham documentary, I forgot that David Beckham's number was number seven. And I was like, that's why my favorite number is seven, because it's David's number. Like that was my OG number. Like that's, I have a necklace. It's the angel number, that's 777. And someone asked me about it like a month or two ago. I was like, it's just like a number I really love. And watching this documentary, like David is that bitch. Like he's always been that bitch. Like he's so amazing. Such a great player. He went through so much as a player as well. And if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. It's just incredibly amazing. I did wish that there would have been more about Victoria. I thought it would have been great if like it would have been like maybe six, maybe seven episodes, and it split like one episode about David and the first like 5 years of his career, whatever, like the big moments, and then as well as Victoria. I feel like that would have been like really interesting, because it was called Beckham, and I didn't realize until watching that documentary that Victoria Beckham's actual last name before she got married was Victoria Adams. It kept saying that. I was like, the hell is Victoria Adams? Like, I've just known her as like either Posh Spice or Victoria Beckham. I didn't know what her like maiden name was, but it's incredibly amazing. You have to watch it. It's such a fun watch. Like if you're married, if you're single, it's like a great thing to watch with like, I would assume a partner or a boyfriend. I don't have either of those, but it would have been nice to watch it with one of those people, especially if they like really love football. So it was just amazing. However, my only quandary, my only issue with the documentary is that they never spoke for some idiotic reason about the movie that like, I feel made him even more famous, especially in America, which was Bend It Like Beckham. Like it was never brought up, which is insane to me. They went through his entire career from like the moment he was poached to the moment he retired to where he is now. And they did not bring up once the movie Bend It Like Beckham, which was like, I watched that movie at least twice a year since that movie has come out, which was nearly over 20 years ago. It made him so incredibly big in America. I don't really understand why they didn't do that, but I'll message him on Instagram and see if he responds. But it was amazing. He's just so attractive. Like, you can't watch that documentary and see him from, I don't want to say till dusk till dawn, but like, you know what I'm trying to say. You can see him from like a young boy to like this grown, like 48, I want to say, year old adult, and not be like, that man is attractive. Whether you're a man or a woman, David Beckham has always been the most gorgeous man on the planet. Like, he has a bit of a feminine voice. It, like, it's gotten there a little bit, but he's so attractive. Even when he's, like, being a little bit too metrosexual, like, he's still so incredibly attractive. Like, so attractive. Which I wouldn't say brings me to my final thought, but I saw recently that someone in California won the local lottery, and I think it was like $1.2 billion, I want to say, but that could be a lie. But in my mind, it's $1.2 billion, so let's just go with that number. And I love to, this has been my question of the past like 3 months with dates, with friends, when I'm talking to Ginger, when she like doesn't want to pay attention to me. I just love to ask people, like, if you won, let's give you a number, because I want people to send me like what they would use that money on. If you won $750 million, let's not talk about the taxes, just that specific number, what would you do with it? And I just love to hear what people's answers are. Like, obviously, like, most of it is going to be, like, practical. Like, you want to put some in savings. You want to buy some in real estate. You want to go on some fun trips. You maybe want to move somewhere differently. Obviously, you want to, like, up your lifestyle by a lot. But what are some of, like, the kind of random things you would do with that money? And I love to hear people's answers. I'm glad you guys asked. My answer is... I would, for one, I don't know if, like, every time I think about this question, like, and I think about this question, like, a few times a year for, like, the past, like, 15 years of my life, because it's just, like, fun to think about money that's not yours, that what you would do with it. But mine would be, I would want to give my family members, like, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, I want to each give them $5 million in cash. And then my best friends, I would also want to give them, not as much, but I would give them $1 million in cash as well. And I mean best friends isn't best friends. Like, and that list is very slim. Oh, I don't know if I should say the names because, like, they're going to listen and they're going to get mad. But actually, you know what? I feel like the people who are listening are the people who I'd give the money to. So you know what? I'll say it. Okay. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe six. I think there's maybe six friends that I would give $1 million to. Yeah, I would give $1 million to. Okay. And that would be Bethany Rose, because she knows all my secrets. So I gotta pay her off somehow. She knows all my secrets. It would be Bethany Rose. It'd be John Thomas. It'd be Ashley Nicole. Emily Page. I'm trying to think. The way I said six people, but now I only have four. Samantha Miner, I would give her $1 million because she knows some of my secrets too. I've got to pay her off quickly. I'm trying to think of the people in New York. Like, I do love my friends in New York. They're my girls, but I don't know if I'm trying to give them $1 million cash. I don't know if they've gone through enough fire with me yet. I think that's it. So if your name wasn't called, get over it. Or, you know what? Work up to it. If I make that money, work up to earning your $1 million. Maybe that's my statement. But I would give all those people that money. And then I want a driver. I know people, like, some people will be like, I want someone to cook for me all the time. I want someone to, no, I want a driver. And obviously I'm going to buy houses or whatever. I want to, like, become, what's the word? I don't know. I want to be on the board of, like, important places. Like, I want to be on the board of the Met. I want to be on the board of, like, the New York Opera or things like that. Like, I want to be in important, fun places that are just, like, a part of culture. I maybe want to, like, buy a team. I don't know what team, but I want to be, like, a partner on a team. And what else do I want to do? That's mostly what I want to do. Like, I want to give a little bit of money to, like, the people that I'm close to and that I love. I want someone to drive me around all the time. I just want to go to, like, galas, and I want to plan, like, parties and, like, social dinners. Like, the life that I pretty much want to live in 5 years is what I want to do with the $750 million that I would win with the lottery. What else would I want to do? I'd want to get a farm somewhere and just, like, have a bunch of gingers running around. Ginger as in my dog, not ginger people. Gingers and my dog running around, and a bunch of, like, alpacas and llamas and little piglets. What else would I want to do? Oh, I know what I would want to do. That's my next thing. I would want to either buy or own or co-own, like, a very famous or multiple famous, like, wineries around the world. Like, I would want to give them like 10 million and just be like a silent partner where I could just come, drink wine, bring friends here, have a great time. That's what I would do with my money. And the rest of it would go into like savings, bonds, real estate, buying like a cute little penthouse and calling it a day. You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds so much fun. Ugh. I do a little bit of shopping, like, you know. I'm still gonna shop at like the cheap places that I like to shop at, but I would be upping my ante by like going to Coco Chanel all the time. And I would immediately, once I get that amount of money in the local bank, I would send a request to Beyonce to have a dinner with me at my favorite bar and just get annihilated with me, just blackout drunk, and have the best time just like gossiping about life. I would spend so much money on that. Like, so much money. And then continue on with my life. Like, I'd be so happy. I want to know what you guys would do. Like, I'll post on my social, like, what would you do if you won $750 million? What would you do? And I just want to know. I just find it so intriguing, people's answers. Like, some of my friends were like, I would have a private chef. I would have this and that. You guys let me know what your vibe is when you're winning this amount of money, because I just find it so incredibly interesting. But I'll be posting, as I said. And I had such a gorgeous time gabbing with you guys. I need to finish my cocktail, take Ginger for a walk, maybe screaming, crying to my pillow. I don't know when the next podcast episode is going to be coming to you. It might be in 2 weeks at the end of the month. The next episode might be like a birthday recap, which I don't know what I'm doing for my birthday, which is quite literally almost a month away, or less than a month away, because I'm so depressed with life and so disappointed with this past year. Like, don't really want to celebrate this past. I don't really want to celebrate going into a new year of my life when like this past year has been so depressing and so shitty for me, honestly. So incredibly shitty for me. So I don't know, maybe like something I'm hoping, and I hope you guys pray for me as well, that something good, incredibly good, happens to me in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Because if so, then I will celebrate my birthday. If not, I will be screaming and crying into my pillow, and Ginger's going to have a lot of work to do to make me happy. So that's the plan. But until then, hopefully I will be coming back to you guys with some good news in the future. If not, goodbye, my dears.